May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 212. Why does your face, ye humble souls, those mournful colours wear? What doubts are these that try your faith and nourish your despair? 212.
Thank you. from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe to do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uttermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. He that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye come for sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. Whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon the altar, he is guilty. He falls and blind. Whether is greater the gift, or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. Whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it, by him that dwelleth therein. He that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God, by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, strain at a gnat, and swallow a camel. Woe unto ye, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, Cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Lord, you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partaker with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? Therefore, behold, I send you prophets, and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel, unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily, I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Dear Lord, look down upon us. We are gathered together in thy earthly courts on this the evening of thy day, and we seek, Lord, thy presence in the midst, thy help in preaching, and an ear to hear thy voice. O Lord, we must hear it here below, in peace and mercy and pardon, or else we shall hear it above in solemn divine judgment. We pray, gracious God, that thou would use the truth of thy holy word with divine power in the hearts of the hearers in the congregation, and that, gracious God, there may be a voice known and heard with divine power. We've read thy words while on earth, solemn words, to those who thought they were right and had no idea how far removed they were from the blessed truth of the gospel. It is thy work to humble and subdue, to bring us down to that blessed pattern that thou didst set in that teaching, those sacred precepts, to be the least in our Father's house, to be humbled at thy mercy seat, have proud nature subdued, and to be brought, gracious God, to worship thee in sincerity and in truth. O, deliver us from an outward form and the hypocrisy of it, of which the Pharisees were so guilty. And grant us gracious teaching in our souls, that, Lord, we may know thee, the eternal God, may be brought to follow thee, and to rest in thyself, to walk humbly before our God, to be taught by thy Holy Spirit, and to be conformed to the image of thy dear Son. Gracious God, use the foolishness of preaching that thou hast ordained for the salvation of immortal souls. Come by thy Spirit, send forth thy light and thy truth. Open the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf, And grant those ears and eyes that Peter had when he said unto thee, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they did say to him, Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. We thank thee, Lord, the government is upon thy shoulders, that thou dost rule and reign in the churches, and that thou art a sovereign God. None can resist thy hand, for all power belongeth unto thee, in heaven and in earth. Lord, we pray in the church, in these solemn days in which we're living, when our land has become humanistic in all its solemn form, and, Lord, it has turned from the truth as the truth is in Jesus, turned its back upon thy holy name, and thy holy word, and thy holy law. Gracious God, we pray that thou look down upon the tiny remnant who seek to serve thee, and who would desire to follow thee. The Lord, we see the clouds of persecution arising around us. We know that thy word speaks of these solemn days, the latter times. The love of many shall wax cold, where there'll come a great falling away, when many shall go to and fro throughout the earth, when knowledge shall increase. Lord, we have all the hallmarks of time about us. And gracious God, we pray that thou wouldst give to thy tiny remnant grace to stand in this evil day, and having done all to stand, that we may be enabled, dear Lord, to resist the devil. For he goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And dear Lord, we see much evil, thou knowest, in the land, in this great falling away. But we pray, gracious God, for the young and rising generation about us. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst teach them early in their lives. They may know the divine call by grace, know that effectual call, and be brought to thee and to their knees at thy mercy seat, to come to thee as sinners, and to know what it is, to confess and to pour out their sins before thee, and to know something of the peace of God in the pardoning blood of Christ, which passeth all understanding. Look down upon thy servants as they preach the gospel even this night. Lord, remember them. Grant, dear Lord, that there may be fruit attending their labours. Raise up and equip and send forth others into the ministry of thy holy word. Lord, thou hast divine purposes, and we pray for the work of thy Spirit. For thou hast said, how shall they preach except they be sent? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And dear Lord, we pray for the preaching of thy word, that thy holy word may go forth as that sword, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder to the dividing of the joints and marrow, that there may be, Lord, that work of thy Spirit manifest, that shall bring forth that divine life in the heart, and that there may be a following of thee in life's pathway. And Lord, we know that thou would exercise, concern, try the faith of thy dear people, and in life's pathway bring them to wrestle with thee. Dear Lord, we pray that wrestling prayer may be given, and there may be that grace given that thy dear apostle spoke of, to fight that good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life. We pray, Lord, for all who walk in paths of sorrow and affliction. It is the lot of thy dear people. Their master walked the way. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And dear Lord, we pray that thou wouldst look down upon those who walk in dark paths. Think of those, Lord, this night, on the edge of eternity. One in particular, thou knowest, Lord, we pray for her, that thou wouldst be with her. No peace but in the Son of God, no hope but in his pardoning blood. We believe there she rests, in thyself and in thy finished work. And dear Lord, we pray that thou wouldst grant her that peace of God which passeth all understanding, Look upon thy servant, her dear loved one. We pray for him. O gracious God, support and sustain him in this bitter sorrow and in this pathway he now walks in. For we know that thou art able, thou art willing, that thou dost and hast done it in the past. We have proved what it has been to be supported in such a path and to be given thy presence and thy comfort, the uplifting support of thy Spirit. We pray so for him. Gracious God, look upon all. Think of one that had a bad accident, thy servant, we pray for him. Lord, that thou wouldst be with him, whether for time or for eternity. Look down upon his loved one in his church. Come by thy Spirit in these solemn things that come into life's pathway so suddenly, so unexpectedly. Yet, dear Lord, thou knowest, we have proved them to be the avenue to thyself. We have proved them to be the pathway in which thou hast visited our souls, comforted our hearts, the path in which we have had fellowship with thee, and known thy presence, thy mighty power. Lord, we prove in life's pathway when most we need his helping hand. This friend is always near. Lord, thou art that faithful, unchangeable friend. We have proved it. And oh, gracious God, how much we have to confess of unbelief in our hearts, inability to trust thee. Yet we know, dear Lord, that the way is through much tribulation we must enter the kingdom. And thou dost counsel thy dear church to trust in thee at all times, and to pour out our hearts before thee. Help us then this night to look unto thee in glory, and to remember that thou art that covenant-keeping God who changes not. Thou art that God of mercy. We deserve not the least of all thy mercies, but Lord, we come to thee dependent upon them, and come as one came of old. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, we are fallen creatures, but oh, we pray that thou wouldst increase our faith. Go before us in the way. Grant in this sanctuary of God here the obedience of faith, that, Lord, there may be the fulfillment of that blessed commandment. Oh, leave not to evade it and to avoid it. But, oh, grant, Lord, that spirit of obedience, if you love me. Oh, what an if that is. If you love me, keep my commandments. Gracious God, we pray the building up of this church and congregation. We pray for the work of thy Spirit. We pray, gracious God, for the work in thy own time. For we believe thou hast a set time to favour Zion. And Lord, we pray the deacons in office in the church, and Lord, their desires in this sanctuary of God, the work of thy Spirit to be manifested, others to be gathered in. O gracious God, come by thy Spirit and grant that there may be a power manifest in this sanctuary of God, that there may be the drawing influence of the Spirit, that sinners may be drawn to thee, brought to thy mercy seat, brought to cry to thee for pardon, and have answers to their prayers. Look down upon those, Lord, who have concern and exercise of heart, who long, Lord, to know that thou art their God, that thou hast loved them with an everlasting love. Oh, look down and grant, Lord, the comfort of thy word, some may have waited long for it, to hear thy voice and to know that they are thy servant, that thou hast loved them and didst die for them. O grant, gracious God, that blessed assurance, that there may be known in the heart that peace of God which passeth all understanding. Dear Lord, we pray for thy servants as they preach thy word in whatever land this night. They are, gracious God, anoint them by thy Spirit. we pray thou would use the word, that thy holy word may have free course and be glorified, and that thou wouldst work by thy Spirit and come and gather out thy one church to thyself. Dear Lord, we pray for the nation in its vast wickedness. Thou seest it all together. Oh, how we see the need for a great outpouring of thy Spirit, as in former generations in this land and in the world. Lord, come and equip and raise up and send forth servants of thine to preach thy gospel. Lord, the work is thine. We are thankful that the government is upon thy shoulders, that thou dost rule and reign, and that sovereignty is thine, and Zion is in thy hand. And Lord, we pray that thou hast come and equip and send forth those whom thou hast eternally ordained to the work. Dear Lord, look down and have mercy upon the churches. Upon this guilty land, we pray thee, Lord, thou seest the dark evils that abound on every hand, the great wickedness legislated in our National Assembly. Oh, thou seest the evils, Lord, in the land. And we pray, gracious God, that thou wouldst have mercy upon us as a nation. We have turned away and desecrated thy holy day on a vast scale. We have turned from thy holy word and the truth that it contains. Thy holy law, Lord, is abandoned. And we see the nation in confusion, morally bankrupt, spiritually bankrupt, financially bankrupt. Thy judgments are heavily upon us. And we know, Lord, that these great tides of wickedness which are now flowing over the land are but the judgment of God against our sin. For we come, as Daniel did, confessing our own sins and the sins of our nation, and asking, Lord, that in wrath thou wouldst remember mercy. Do look down, we pray thee, and hear the cries and prayers of the tiny remnant in this nation. The Lord, I believe there has to people. Thy servant Elijah had that solemn feeling that he alone was left, but there were those who had not bowed the knee to Baal at that time. Lord, he believed thou hast in this godless heathen land. Lord, thou hast a people, those whom thou hast eternally loved, and we pray that thou hast hear the cry of those who sigh and cry for the abominations that are done in this land. Down upon the Queen and the royal household, we pray especially for the Queen at this time. Give her wisdom. We pray the affairs of state. We thank thee for a moral, upright example of her life in this land. And dear Lord, we pray thou hast long maintained her upon the throne. Look down, we pray thee, gracious God, and be with us as a nation that we may be enabled to form another government. Oh, that thy hand might be in it for the good of this land. Raise up God-fearing men in our National Assembly. May there be a witness yet in this land to the truth, as the truth is in Jesus. Look upon us, Lord, we remember our Protestant Reformed heritage and constitution, based upon thy holy word and the oaths which the Queen took at her coronation to maintain the Protestant religion in this land. And Lord, we pray that thou would yet have mercy upon us. Look down, we pray thee, upon us as a nation and preserve our national sovereignty. Oh, look down, Lord, and have mercy upon us. Now, gracious God, we come to thee. Seek thy presence this night. Thy help, lead us into thy word of truth. Lord, grant the anointing of thy Spirit. But above all, grant that thy holy word may have free course and be glorified in the hearts of the hearers, that thy word may find an entrance. Touch our lips with the live coal of thy heavenly altar and fill our earthen vessel. For Lord, thou seest our need. Bless the truth as it is in Jesus, as we would ask these mercies with the pardon and forgiveness of every sin, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 735. Oh, the happiness arising from the life of grace within, when the soul is realizing conquests over hell and sin, happy moments, heavenly joys on earth begin. 735.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this evening to Psalm 89, reading verses 14 and 15. Psalm 89, reading verses 14 and 15. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. God is a God of justice and a God of judgment. He has a holy law. We have broken it in its entirety. The Lord has said that he that is guilty in one point is guilty in all. We read that chapter of the judgment of Christ against the Pharisees, showing the hypocrisy of their religion, the vain hopes that they had, and the condemnation, the judgment of God against their sins. We do not need to look at them. We need to look at ourselves. The Lord dealt with them. Where do you and I stand before this holy God? This God of justice, whose law, his holy law, we have broken in every particle of it. We stand before the judge of the whole earth, and shall do, in that solemn hour when heart and flesh fails here to give an account of the deeds done in the body, to give an account of our own souls here below. And as a God of justice, his holy law condemns us. And we know that it lies before each one of us what the scriptures speak of as the day of judgment. It is our mercy that God speak into our hearts here in this time state and applies his holy law in our conscience and brings us to realize where we stand in his sight and brings us to pour out our heart before him in godly sorrow and confession. The margin reads here, justice and judgment are the establishment of thy throne. They're the basis of it, the very foundation of it. God is a God of holiness and purity. He cannot look upon sin. And we stand in the light of his countenance as condemned. The writer of the Song of Solomon had such a sight of himself under the condemning power of the Spirit, and he said, I am black as the tents of Kedar. Sinners in Christ's day came to him under the condemning power of the Spirit with those words, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And it is a mercy, a great mercy, if the Lord show us where we are, where we stand in his presence, and how he sees us, to bring the arrows of conviction into our heart and to know in experience something of his justice. that we have a holy law which we have broken, and we stand convicted before God. This is the work of the Holy Spirit of truth. And I do put it to you tonight, what do you know of yourself? The Pharisees had no conception of the depth of their hypocrisy. They thought they were right. They did so many things. They had a view of their righteousness, their self-righteousness. It was, as Scripture speaks of that self-righteousness, filthy rags in the eyes of a holy God. One solitary sin will keep a sinner out of heaven. It will. One solitary sin. Oh then, what a mercy. If we are brought to feel this judgment bar of God and the justice of his holy law, and are brought down under it with almighty power, and are brought to his mercy seat to beg for mercy. Justice and judgment are the establishment or habitation of thy throne, and it must be so. Oh, when we consider the holiness, majesty, glory, and power of this mighty God, we are but dust and ashes in his sight. We are the sons of Adam, fallen creatures. And how solemn it will be if our whole life goes on like the Pharisees, well persuaded that all was well, yet when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Christ himself, came to this earth and looked upon them, oh, how he revealed the nature of their hypocrisy. And they did not accept it. It didn't enter their hearts. There were those of the Pharisees in whose hearts it did enter, and the Sadducees. We think of Nicodemus. How he came to Jesus by night. Ashamed to be seen speaking with him in the day. But we know that the brother Pharisees sensed that there was something working in him. And that was what they said to him. Art thou one of them? His eyes had been opened to that day of judgment. And his eyes were brought by faith to see that Christ was the Son of God. And he was separated from the Pharisees, brought away from it, and brought to worship Christ. Brought to be favoured to take his body to the grave. Brought to be one of his disciples. That was the work of the Holy Spirit that separated him from the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and brought him to know what Christ taught him. Ye must be born again. There must be that mighty change wrought, and it was wrought in him. I do say to you tonight, it's been wrought in you. Will your religion stand up to the scrutiny of God? The Pharisees didn't. He didn't stand up to the scrutiny of God. He saw right through it. There was no sincerity in it. It was sheer hypocrisy. When the Lord works by his Spirit in the hearts of sinners, he will burn up their false religion. He will separate them from it. What they have rested on, the Apostle Paul knew it, Pharisee of the Pharisees. He said regarding it, the things he counted gain, had counted gain, he counted dung and dross for the knowledge of Christ Jesus his Lord. The Lord gave him light, wisdom, grace, and separated him to himself. Far from standing on the street corner, that his prayers may be seen of men, we read when the Lord began with him that he was in the street called Straight, and it was Jesus who said to Ananias, "Behold, he prayeth." There had been wrought in his dear heart a mighty change. He was separated. Oh, if we are not separated here below from this false, empty religion, then we shall never reach the presence of Almighty God in heaven and be with him where he is. We need to be taught by his Spirit and brought to know ourselves and see where we are. We need a mighty power, a divine power, a call from God himself. For be certain of this, we are all, and the scriptures are so abundantly plain, we shall all stand before the judgment bar of God. And we are fast hastening there. And if we have not a right foundation, if we have not a right beginning, if we have not the work of the Holy Spirit, we shall stand before this judgment bar of God condemned. The judge of the whole earth will pronounce that solemn and awful condemnation. Depart from me, I never knew you. We need a religion that Scripture speaks of as gold, silver, and precious stones, which cannot be burnt up by the fire of God's justice and his fiery law that is broken by us. Judgment. Justice and judgment are the habitation of his throne. It must be so. He is a holy God. He cannot look upon sin. And we are all standing before his judgment bar tonight. And we shall be condemned if we are not prepared and made ready. And I want to go on in a minute to speak of the second part of this text. Prepared and made ready lies here in our text, in this word, mercy and truth. Justice and judgment, mercy and truth. Oh, when we come to look at the work of God, the dying thief in a dying hour, standing before the judgment bar of God, standing before the judgment of his own nation against his sins, having been sentenced under one court, he was awaiting sentence under another court, even a court of divine justice. Yet, mercy, as we spoke of it this morning, was manifested to him in sovereign grace. The Lord, in sovereign mercy, saved the dying thief and told him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Apostle Paul speaks, I believe it's in the 5th of Romans, and says this, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." But you see, there is condemnation to them who are not in Christ Jesus. Search your hearts and ask yourself this evening, in the simple figure that Christ used, are you united to the vine? Christ said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." We need to be found in him. In him by precious faith, believing in him, coming to his cross to seek, to know in the experience of it, his blood which did for sin atone. I do believe this. All of God's children will know the solemn nature of this truth in their hearts. Know this solemn word here, justice and judgment are the habitation of his throne. They will know what it is to be brought in condemnation before the judgment bar of God. But this word goes on. Mercy and truth. To be brought to know mercy. There is one prayer in Scripture which I believe is the prayer of all God's people. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It is at the judgment bar of God they plead for mercy. They have no ground to stand on. Christ saw the Pharisees resting in their own righteousness. The child of God is shown by the power and light of the Spirit that that righteousness is filthy rags and utterly unacceptable to God. Salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. And faith is the gift of God. And oh, how we see the sovereignty of God, that faith is given as a sovereign gift. And we are brought to be beggars at his mercy seat. But as we read this, mercy and truth. This sweet combination we see in it shall go before thy face. Mercy and truth goes before the face of God. In this, that it is seen in Christ, his dear Son. There lies mercy and truth. When on earth Christ said, I am the way, the truth and the life. He was the epitome of truth. And in him lay that blessed truth, that salvation is of the Lord. It is of grace, of sovereign grace. And God's dear people, taught by his Spirit, must come to that mercy seat as beggars, condemned, bearing the guilt and condemnation and filth of their sins, and pleading with him for mercy. And he is sovereign in the disposal of that mercy. Utterly sovereign. That is the very substance of mercy. A sovereign God granting to his dear people mercy utterly undeserved. Why, they are condemned to die by his holy law. They have broken it in every particle. They come before him as guilty sinners. Behold, he prayeth. That was the case of the Apostle Paul, he who had held men and women to prison and to death. Yet the Lord had mercy upon him. And he knew Christ, the way, the truth and the life. I am the way, the truth and the life. Jesus revealed himself to him in sovereign grace. He came just where he was, and he dealt with him. He brought him down under his holy law, under its condemnation. And he brought him to his mercy seat as a beggar. And he pleaded with his God. I believe there is prayer and prayer. Pharisees prayed. Was given that name, but it was not prayer. Not as God sees it. But the Apostle Paul, when the Lord spoke to him and said, behold, he prayeth. What prayer that was? Why, it was the prayer, I believe, of the psalmist, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And it is a prayer of all of God's dear children, that they should come to his mercy seat as beggars. God is honoured and glorified in it. They recognise him as a sovereign God who has a right to do with his own as he will. Then the hymn writer says, and if my soul were sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. What lies here then in this mercy and truth? I believe this, that there lies the person and finished work of Christ. There lies here his spotless holy obedience in the keeping of his Father's law here in this earth. He, in his glorious humanity, walking in obedience to his Father, I do always those things he said that please him. Holy, says the scripture, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. Here was the eternal Son of God walking in this earth that he might keep his Father's holy law. And what we have here in this word mercy is the blood and righteousness of the eternal Son of God. Oh, the mercy for a people whom no man can number was the sending by his Father of his dear Son into this earth to die for sin. Oh, the agonies that he passed through for his dear church. He speaks of it in Gethsemane. Father, he says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But it was a cup of mercy. Here was Christ coming into this world that his dear people might know what mercy is in the sweet experience of it. That they may be taught to know Christ by divine revelation and be brought to have their eyes opened and their ears opened to know the truth. Oh, I do ask you tonight, has the truth been revealed to you in your hearts? Do you know the eternal Son of God incarnate by precious faith? Have you been brought to do business with him in deep waters? Have you come to his mercy seat? Have you proved him to be a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God? I go one step further. Have you begged for mercy? Have you known an answer to that? Has the blood of Jesus Christ been sprinkled over your soul? You may say to me, what is that? I say to you this, in the words of John the Divine, we have fellowship with him, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Mercy and truth. Oh, the precious blood of Christ that lies here shall go before thy face. Yes, we shall know it, must know it. In the anthems of glory as revealed in the book of the Revelation, the church of Christ is singing that glorious anthem unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It is repeated in the 7th chapter. Who are these and whence came they? These are they that came out of great tribulation, washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, how we need, by the divine operations of God's Spirit, for that precious blood to be applied in our heart and conscience. To hear, as the Apostle Paul heard it, the voice of Christ calling him. Has he called you? Have you a beginning? Can you mark a change in your life? Can you mark that time when the Lord changed? You may not be able to mark the exact day, the exact month, but has there been a change? Why, it is the work of God's Spirit through the finished work of Christ that brings about that blessed change in the heart of a poor sinner, that he sees himself before this judgment bar of God, knows the justice of God against his sins. For the soul that sinneth, it shall die, and is brought down as a beggar to plead for mercy and to cry to God and to have those sweet answers of peace, mercy and truth. As the truth, says the Apostle Paul, is in Jesus. He is the way, the truth and the life. No man, he says, cometh unto the Father but by me. In his day he was crucified on that very basis that he said he was the Son of God. Scripture says of him that they hated him without a cause. He was the Son of God. They hated him because they denied it. But I believe this, that every child of God is brought to know him. Apostle Paul said of this, that I might know him. And I believe he did know him. And he heard his voice. We are in no different today to the Apostle Paul. But he had mercy manifest to him. There was compassion and pity. Scripture speaks of Christ as touched with the feeling of the infirmities of his dear people. And he is. Oh, how he knows the path of his dear church. Enters into it. He, that great intercessor, yet on that judgment throne, before which we must all come. Oh, in that solemn hour when we are brought to meet him face to face, to have his advocacy, his intercession. He is that great high priest, and only his precious blood that has washed our souls will ever clear us in that great day from his solemn judgment. Enter is the words of Christ to his dear church, into the joy of thy Lord. Then the psalmist goes on. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Joyful sound is the gospel. It is spoken of in Scripture as the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Spoken of here in the psalm as the joyful sound. Why, there is joy in religion, human joy. But when we come to true religion before God, there is a joy the world knows nothing of. There is emotion and excitement. But when we come to this joy, it is something vastly different. It has the deep mystery that lies in it, that the joy of God's dear people is a broken and a contrite heart at his mercy seat. And surrounding this sacred joy is godly sorrow and repentance. It is to be delivered from the chains and bondage of guilt and sin. And the joy that lies here is that precious joy when the Lord liberates his dear people and they know their guilt and sin removed. Bunyan speaks of it in his Pilgrim's Progress, how the pilgrim came to the cross carrying his load and a sight of Christ, and it was gone. Oh, his joy. When his burden was removed, when he was healed. Hymn writer says, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like thee his praise shall sing? It is poor sinners, broken-hearted sinners, tried, exercised and tempted sinners that are brought to know this precious joy. Blessed is the people, oh, favoured with the blessing of Almighty God upon their souls. We see it in his own lifetime. Go thy way, he said. Thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee. The avenue to being made ready to stand before his judgment bar. And he was able to forgive. Why, the Pharisees knew the answer to the question, who can forgive sin? God only. And it is only Christ, eternal Son of God, who can forgive sin. The joyful sound is the application of that precious blood in our hearts. It's not a religion of our own. It's one that is given to us, applied in our souls. Oh, how we need stripping of all that is of the flesh, all vain hopes, and to be brought down to the mercy seat of Christ. There to know and hear the voice of Christ in our souls. Thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee. And when we look at the truth that lies here, we see an advocate and an intercessor in the person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. 'Tis he, instead of me, is seen when I approach to God. He is that one who has borne the sins of God's dear people. Peter says, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. His was a vicarious sacrifice. He offered himself a sacrifice for sin. We need to know it. We need to hear from his own lips what he said to his dear disciples. Ye are washed, ye are clean, through the word that I have spoken unto you. He speaks peace and pardon into the hearts of his dear people, and then they're blessed. Blessed of their God. And truly, they know the joyful sound. They know what it is to be lifted out of their darkness. They know what it is for the condemnation to be taken from them, the burden of their guilt to be removed, the peace that flows from his pardoning blood. This is the joyful sound. Apostle Paul says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, lifted out of the valley of the shadow of death, brought to have our feet firmly set upon that rock, Christ Jesus. I might know him, the power of his resurrection, having fellowship with him in his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, to have a sight of the sufferings of Christ, that our sins might be washed away. He grants, I believe this to be verily true, he grants in this life, by his Spirit, to his dear people, to have a glimpse of somewhat of the agonies he passed through in the way of mercy for his dear church, that he should come that way that they might reach glory. Scripture says, if thou wert strict to mark iniquity, who could stand? None. But there lies the mercy of God in his dear Son. And blessed is the people that knows that joyful sound? Who can truly say, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress, midst flaming worlds and these arrayed with joy, shall I lift up my head? We need to be made possessors. We need it applied in our hearts. We need the truth to be spoken into our souls. We need Christ to be revealed in our hearts as the hope of glory. We need to be stripped of all that false religion that the Pharisees had, emptied of self, I fain would be. And we need to be brought down as beggars at his mercy seat. It's the only place, the only way in which we can approach him. And God does bring us down. He brings proud nature down. He'll bring us down to do business with him in deep waters. Solemn tribulations will bring us to his mercy seat. A sight of eternity will bring us to God's mercy seat as beggars, to cry to him for mercy. And what a blessed thing it is when he comes to us in such a time and gives us a hope that he is our Saviour, our God. Faith in the only sacrifice, made very precious to me, this hymn was, under a particular operation I was passing through. Many fears, faith in the only sacrifice, but did for sin atone, to cast our eyes, to fix our hopes on Christ alone. The acid test of the reality of it will be this. Are we in such a situation? Are we so taught by the Spirit that we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? The man that came to his friend by night caused him to rise because of his importunity. He would not give up. Jacob at Brook Jabbok wrestled with his God, I'll not let thee go except thou bless me. That is the acid test of the reality of our prayers. Do we wrestle until we obtain? When we obtain, when the Lord hears our prayers, as he did Jacob, and he blessed him there, when he brings us through the trial, as he brought Abraham to Mount Moriah, a terrible trial he brought him through to raise the knife, most mysterious commandments, yet, when he left Mount Moriah, he had this, in blessing I will bless thee. The Lord blessed him indeed. And Christ said of Abraham in that solemn fiery furnace in the trial of his faith, in blessing I will bless thee. We need the blessing in our hearts. And then we shall come within the compass of our text. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. And the last part of this text, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. You see, there are two ways of walking in this world. One is in the absence of God. One is under his wrath and condemnation. But when we read walking in the light of his countenance, have you walked in it? I believe some of you have. The sweet hope that he's your God. A hope in his mercy. A sweet realization that he's with you. I am with thee, says his word. Israel passing through the fire. It is a blessed experience to walk in the light of his countenance. Condemnation brings solemn darkness with it. The light of his countenance brings peace with it, brings hope. God's dear children long for his presence. They long, as Moses knew in that dying hour, to feel the arms of love and mercy underneath. In thy presence, I'm happy. In thy presence, I'm secure. In thy presence, all afflictions I can easily endure. Oh, the sweet nature of the light of his countenance. Once you've known it, the sweet comfort of it, the certainty of it, the foundation of it, oh, you will desire it again and again, to know that you are at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Have a precious hope that he died for you, to walk in the sweetness of the promises. Why, the very giving of the promises are the light of his countenance. And oh, to walk in it. There are things that come between our God and our souls. Sin, carnality, worldly mindedness, unbelief. But when the Lord draws near and we feel his presence, we walk for a season in the light of his countenance. When we are constrained to walk in those sacred paths of obedience to his holy mind and will, I can assure you of this, you will know the light of his countenance. And in the light of his countenance, his dear church can run the race that is set before them, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. It is a blessed mercy to walk. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They hear the voice of their Saviour in their hearts. They know his presence, his love, his pity, his compassion. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk. There's a beginning and there's a walking till their journey's end. His promises are so inclusive. And we name one very precious to us. Oh, for faith to anchor in these promises which the Lord has given to us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But there are others. Thou art mine. Oh, to know the promises of God. Dying thief, as we said at the beginning, new mercy, knew the promises of his God. One promise took him to glory. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £595, and the collection on Monday for our Needy Cases Fund to £720.25, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, there will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Broom, and Mr. Richard Woodhams is expected to preach on Tuesday. Dr. Sadler God willing, next Lord's Day, and hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. And there we are, church meeting on Friday evening. Hymn 667. Immortal honours rest on Jesus' head. My God, my portion and my living bread. In him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction and despair. 667.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with you each. Amen.